This is Bible Basics. This section is called Belief in Practice, the All-Seeing God. That God sees and knows all things has a number of major implications for our lives in practice. No secret sins. Job knew this, and therefore he commented, it was impossible that, for example, he would lust after a woman if he really believed, as he claimed he did, that God was omniscient. Why then should I think upon a young girl, as the friend employee had done? Does not he, God, see my ways and count all my steps? That's Job 31, verse 4. Proverbs 5, verses 20 and 21 makes the same warning against being embraced in the arms of the seductress. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his goings. Also, in the context of sexual sin, David could say that his awareness of his sin was ever before him. Psalm 51, verse 3. And also that he sent God ever before him. Psalm 16, verse 8. A sense of the real presence of God leads us to an awareness of our sins. Likewise, God had to remind Israel, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Do I not fill heaven and earth? That's Jeremiah 23:24. The context is appealing to the people to quit their sins. We should labor to enter the kingdom because God knows absolutely every thought and action of ours and will ultimately judge them. Hebrews 4, verses 11 to 13. The Sermon on the Mount is really based around translating the knowledge that God sees and knows all things into practice. Our thoughts are equivalent to our actions, and yet often we think that the fact that we're clever enough not to express them in action is somehow a lesser failure. And yet God sees our thoughts as far off. Realizing this will help us avoid the greatest danger of the religious life, to have an outward form of spirituality, while within, we are dead. Note how the Lord Jesus begins each of his letters to the churches with the word, I know. His omniscience of his people ought to motivate them to appropriate behavior. His criticisms of those Ephesians imply that they didn't appreciate the fact that he knew them and their ways. Hannah had reflected upon God's omniscience, and upon that basis he felt Penina not to be proud and not to use hard words against her, exactly because of this. Thought no more so exceeding proudly, let not hardness come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Here and now, because he sees and knows all things. That's 1 Samuel 2, verse 3. Fred Barling commented, what God loves is the man who is genuine through and through, in whom the without and the within are really one, whose dominant persuasion is, you, God, see me. The Hebrew language reflects certain realities about the nature of God's ways. The common Hebrew word for to see, especially when used about God's seeing, also means to provide. Abraham comforted Isaac that God will see for himself. The interpreted provide. God will see for himself the lamb. And thus the RV margin interprets Jehovah Jireh as meaning the Lord will see or provide. Genesis 22:14. The same word is used when Saul asked his servants to provide him a man. 1 Samuel 16:17. When Hagar said, you, God, see me, Genesis 16:13, she was expressing her gratitude for his provision for her. What this means in practice is that God sees and knows all things. It means that he can and will, therefore,
provide for us in the circumstances of life, for he sees and knows all things. Faith in prayer. If God really does see and know all things, then he surely hears prayer. We raise our eyebrows when we read David's desperate prayer, "Don't be deaf unto me," Psalm 28, verse 1. He who made the ear can surely hear. God, of course, isn't deaf. And just as surely and obviously, he will likewise hear prayer.